Harper Audio presents Destination India by Katie Collins, read by Rachel Louise Miller. Chapter 1. Turbid. Adjective. Confused. Muddled. The first thing I heard were the keys at the door, scratching and jangling against each other as the lock slowly turned. Bollocks! I'd done it again! I whipped my head off my laptop, QWERTY imprinted on my left cheek as I rubbed my tired eyes, probably wiping the residue of clumped black mascara everywhere. I heard the clanging of the metal bell as the door opened and quickly hid under my desk, wincing at the pain of cracking my funny bone on my metal chair leg. Not so bloody funny at all. Pulling my knees up to my chin, I tried to tuck myself in the corner, hoping that he wouldn't notice my shoes forlornly left at the edge of my desk. I heard his heavy footsteps slowly clump across the tiled floor, tiles that had been imported from Morocco by the previous owner, once dusted with desert sand, but now forever ingrained with Manchester mud and dirt in the narrow cracks. They were beautiful, but a bugger to keep clean. He was whistling to himself. I could just make out the tune from that TV series that everyone was talking about, but I'd never got round to watching. I mentally slapped myself for being in this position again, but there was no way I would let him find me here. No way. Suddenly, his footsteps stopped. My breath caught in my throat. I could make out his smart, chestnut-brown shoes from here, the ones that I'd seen in the shop window down the road when they were in the January sales, and mentioned how much they would suit him. The shoes were now facing in my direction. I tried to stay as still as I could. A deep sigh replaced the whistling. Why is he not moving? I could feel my heartbeat hammering through my chest. Oh, why had I done it again? Put myself in this ridiculous situation with only myself to blame. As his feet picked up and started to edge closer to my desk, I heard the door being flung open once more. All right. Kelly's croaky morning voice filled the silent room. Morning, Kel. Did you leave the lights on last night before you left? He asked. I heard Kelly groan. I could imagine her rolling her heavily cold eyes, throwing him her best sarky look, the one she had down to a T. What? Nah, weren't me. I left before Georgia did. She yawned loudly. I could now see her dirty, battered Converse trainers edge into my view, her once white laces caked in what looked like brown sludge. I really did need to give this floor a proper going over. Something else to add to my forever growing to-do list. Maybe I'd hire one of those super-duper carpet vacs or steam cleaners. I was sure my mum had one that she'd won at the bingo a while back. Oh, focus, Georgia. Focus on staying out of view. I tensed my body once more. My shoulders ached from being hunched over my laptop all night, and now pins and needles started tickling my legs. Oh, right, Ben said. His feet were out of my eyeline now. I heard the wooden sign clang against the pane of glass in the door, turning us from closed to open. Can you just turn George's lamp off then? I'll have a word with her when she gets in. Maybe it's some new security measure she's put in place, he called out. Shit. I'd forgotten I'd left that on. Yeah, fine, Kelly mumbled, sloping over towards me. Her feet were just next to my chair. I could see her pale white legs through the rips in her faded denim jeans. Can't she turn her own bloody lights off? I heard her grumble under her breath as she reached across my desk. I scrunched my eyes shut. How was I going to get myself out of here without either of them seeing me? Damn, we're out of milk. Could you go and grab us some coffees? You can take some change from the kitchen.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?